Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about evolution and intelligent design. I'm your host, Mike Keyes. Today we're going to continue our conversation with Mike Flannery, Professor Emeritus of the University of Alabama at Birmingham. He is a historian of science, particularly done a lot of work in the history of pharmacy, but more recently has taken interest in the scientist Alfred Russel Wallace, who was a companion with Darwin in discovering some of the central ideas of the theory of evolution. Mike has a new book called Nature's Prophet, Alfred Russel Wallace and His Evolution from Natural Selection to Natural Theology. And we've already discussed some interesting things about this book. Title, why it's not a biography, but it's intellectual history focusing on Wallace and some of the key figures in his life. And we ended up last time talking about the infamous X Club, which Darwin's bulldog Huxley was particularly in control of, and how there were insiders and outsiders. Wallace was not one of those insiders. So moving on from there, Mike, today let's think about why Wallace was not an insider to the X Club. I mean, he wrote about Darwinism. Didn't he even write a book called Darwinism? Wouldn't that make him seem to make him an insider?
Yes, and that's one of the things that makes this whole journey a bit complicated. You're absolutely right. Wallace did write a book called Darwinism. It's a book that came out in 1889. But this is largely because in Wallace's usage, Darwinism became synonymous with natural selection. When Wallace was talking about Darwinism, he was pretty much focused on the mechanisms of natural selection. And that's not necessarily the case when, say, somebody like Huxley was using the term. Because as we saw on the heard in the last podcast, Huxley had a whole set or whole constellation of metaphysical meanings behind Darwinism. And this was becoming more and more known, understood. I don't know if the word appreciated is necessarily a good word to use here, but nonetheless, it was becoming more current throughout the literate public that Darwinism was taking on more and more of these metaphysical meanings. So much so that when he was an elderly man at this point, the famous philosopher Herbert Spencer received a copy of Wallace's Darwinism, he wrote back immediately to Wallace and he said, "I regret that you've used the term Darwinism, for notwithstanding your qualification of its meaning, you will, by using it, tend greatly to confirm the erroneous concept almost universally current." Well, what erroneous concept is Spencer talking about here? Well, the erroneous concept is that Wallace's form of Darwinism was really synonymous with Darwin's own form of Darwinism, and moreover, synonymous with Huxley. It was not. What Wallace began to do ever since his break, which was published in the April issue 1869 of the Quarterly Review, Wallace broke with Darwin over the nature of man, the nature of human beings. And he said, when we look at the intellect of man, we look at the intellect of human beings, we know that we have to call upon some overruling intelligence.
And this was an evidence-based argument, wasn't it? It wasn't just imposing on him. He was, as a prophet, he started trying to read the text of nature. Humans are a part of that text, right? Human phenomena.
Yes. That's a very good point, Mike. He's not just exclaiming this out of nowhere. In fact, he's saying the reason why we need to call upon an overruling intelligence is that by Darwin's own principle of utility, which was at the heart of natural selection, if we look at the special attributes of human beings, their facility with mathematics, their propensity toward abstract thought, their love of dance, their appreciation of music, all of these special sort of uniquely human attributes do not have, per se, any survival advantage in nature. So if they don't have a survival value in nature, then they can't be relied upon by Darwin's own principle of utility to be things which were developed via natural selection. They have to come from some other source.
So you mean like a primitive alleged ancestor to humanity who happens to begin thinking about set theory or what's happening inside a black hole? That wouldn't be give him the higher likelihood of finding a mate and leaving more offspring?
No, not really. And it's not going to help you outrun the cheetah that's chasing you down. And it's not going to help you escape the alligator at the riverside. None of those things. So when you look at those attributes, what are those attributes like? Then you have to, in Wallace's view, formulate a cause that is similar to those attributes. Well, what cause is similar to those attributes? Well, a mind or a mind-like process, or in his words, an overruling intelligence.
So in effect, he was saying something like, to explain this effect, the effect being human intelligence and all the wonderful things that humans can do, to explain this effect, we need an adequate cause?
Yes.
And that adequate cause is, his term wasn't intelligent design, as we would call it, but he used the term again, what?
An overruling intelligence or a mind or mind-like process. He often, in his later writings, would capitalize, I think, for ontological effect, capitalize the M in mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me
encapsulate that very quickly. You know, Wallace he's actually not making a gap argument. Critics will say, oh, well, you know, he doesn't know what it is, so he's just filling it in with a gap. No, he's saying, I know what this attribute is. It's an intelligent attribute, whether it's, you know, musical ability or dance, or art, or what have you. It takes some special intellect. I'm not calling upon a gap. I'm calling upon a cause that is similar to the attribute that I'm looking at. And of course, in everyday life, we see that all.
Yeah. All right. So let's continue this in yet another future conversation on your new book. There's plenty of more to explore about Alfred Russel Wallace and his relationship, complicated as it was, with Darwin. So thanks for engaging us up to this point so far, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Please go check out Mike Flannery's new book, Nature's Prophet. Just Google Nature's Prophet and Alfred Russel Wallace, or just go to Amazon, you'll find it. I'm Mike Keyes. Thanks for joining us at ID the Future. We hope to see you again soon.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.